That's some good singing, class. Well done. It is a sweet hour to pray, right? So we're just going to devote this service to prayer. Yay, who said that? I'm just kidding. We're going to pray this afternoon. No. We're going to talk about prayer. We've been looking at what the church looked like for some time now. Through the first four chapters, the underlying thread that we see is that the early church prayed. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this day that we set apart to worship you, to praise you, to just love on you and bask in your presence. God, I pray that we would learn from this message and put it into practice. So I pray that your Spirit would speak to our spirit, that you would continue to mold and shape us into those you have called us and created us to be. For these things, we give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. So the early church certainly was accustomed to prayer. We saw that in verse 14 of chapter 1. It tells us they joined together constantly in prayer. As they waited for direction from the Holy Spirit, in chapter 1, verse 24, we read, "Then they prayed." And after Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, we're told in Acts 2, 42, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." In Acts 3, 1, we learn that Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Clearly, prayer was a normal and regular activity in the early church. And what makes us think that this church in Burnville should be any different? Amen. Thank you for the support. Today, we find that the prayer found in Acts 4 was born out of necessity. Remember in Acts 3, Peter and John healed a lame man in the name of Jesus. That's what got these leaders in an uproar. These Jewish authorities thought they had put the matter of Jesus to rest when they had crucified him. And now, out of nowhere in Jerusalem, there's rumors of Jesus' resurrection. They're dealing with these strange happenings that had taken place on the day of Pentecost. Followed by this exhilarating sermon by Peter that moved people to take an action to follow Jesus. And 3,000 take this action. Add to that the miracle that Peter performed that got everybody's attention. And to some, are strangely reminiscent of the miracles that Jesus had done while he was still with them. This is why the religious leaders acted so quickly to have Peter and John called on the carpet. These leaders were between a rock and a hard place. There was no denying that something miraculous had taken place. But because of their hardened hearts and their twisted thinking, there was no way they could let these men go around preaching about Jesus. And so they brought Peter and John back before them and threatened them with some sort of punishment if they continued to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. I'm so lucky to stand here without that threat. So what do you suppose made Peter and John not the least bit intimidated to stand firm against these authorities? I believe with all my heart it was the fact that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had His power coursing through their blood. How cool is that? Wish I had that. How do I stand up here? It's not in my power or strength, but the Holy Spirit. So how do we gain courage to boldly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ? We get ourselves filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, You don't care what people think. I can stand up here and pray the most babbling prayer, and that's okay because I'm not praying to you. I'm praying to my Father in heaven. We saw last week that Peter boldly proclaimed the verses of 19 and 20 in chapter 4. Do you remember what they said? Here's what they said in verses 19 and 20. Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you, and I will add mere men, or to listen to God? Peter says, you be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. I have never seen Jesus, but I have heard about him my entire life. And because of what I know through what I hear and read, I choose to believe. I stand on the Word of God. I don't care what you think about me. I care what you think about God, because he's the one that's going to make a marked difference in your life. What was their outcome by taking that stand? We're going to listen to God, and we're not going to listen to you, man. What was the outcome? Verse 21 tells us. After further threats, they let them go. You continue to read, they could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. Majority rules. When we stay true to God's word, we prevail. Have you walking in the power of the Spirit, or are you beaten down by what life throws your way? Okay, that's the recap. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Acts chapter 4. And I will begin reading at verse 23. We do have pew Bibles out here, so if you're holding one in your hand, it's somewhere around 1695 you'll find chapter 4. I'm going to be reading at verses 23 through 31. Verse 23, we read, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised up their voices together in prayer to God. And then we get to see and hear the prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Verse 25. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and your will had decided beforehand should happen. I love that. Verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonder through your name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What happens when we pray? God moves. I love that response. They heard the good news about Peter and John's release. And what did they do? Instantaneously, they call together and come and have a prayer meeting. And in the examination of this time of prayer, we can learn some important things about prayer. Are you ready? Take a look for yourself. If you have your Bible open, look at verse 29. They prayed specifically for boldness. Are we praying specifically, church? Yes. We have one person praying specifically. I'll add myself to the number, and I'm sure there's others. But for the most part, when we pray, are we praying specifically? They didn't pray some generic prayer like, Lord, help us through these trials. They asked for something specific. Do you see it there in verse 29? They prayed specifically for boldness in the face of persecution. They were in it. And what did they do? They prayed. What happened? Nothing to them. But they did see the power of God moving. Our tendency is to pray like this. Lord, bless this church. Bless the pastors. Bless the missionaries. Amen. And we just leave it up to God. Okay, I moved my lips and I said some words. I prayed. But did you pray with power and authority? We pray general passive prayers for God to bless this and bless that, and bless these and bless those until I think God is blessed out. I know that can never happen because He's infinite, but I wonder if He doesn't just want to hear what's on our mind specifically. And maybe at that time in prayer, it is to bless. But take time to pray for others. We also see in verse 29 that their prayer was in the will of God. We read in verse 29, Now Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They were well aware of the problem at hand. But where was their focus? Notice they didn't pray for deliverance from the persecution. No. Instead, they prayed for boldness in the face of it. 1 John 5:14 and 15 offers one of the keys to effective prayer is praying in the will of God. We read this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. These believers may not have liked the persecution they were going through, but they understood that God was allowing it. They knew to pray for deliverance would not be in His will. So what do? They pray for courage. Their heart's desire was to serve God and to have a small part in fulfilling His will. Remember, it's Jesus first, then others, and then ourselves. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 5:10-11, Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. What we find in verses 29 and 30 is that their prayer was focused not on themselves, but on the cause of Christ. Christ is our focus, yes. Why we do what we do is because of Him. Yes, church? Pay attention to their prayer. Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Their prayer wasn't self-preservation. Their desire was to advance the cause of Christ. All too often, there tends to be a self-centered attitude when it comes to our prayer lists. We pray, Lord, give me this, and I need that, and deliver me from this, and heal me from that. Do this for me, and help me with that. So be honest for a second. Take a good long inventory of your prayer list and see how much I and me is on it. How long has it been since the last time your prayer was focused not on your needs, but on the cause of Christ? When's the last time you really prayed specific prayers for your church? Do you diligently pray for worldwide mission? How often do you pray that your neighbor, your coworker, your family member, or spouse would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Every time, I love the whisper. Don't get me wrong. I understand your own personal needs need prayer. But be sure to set time apart and spend some time praying for the advancement of the kingdom. Something that stands out to me in chapter 4 is that their prayers got answered. We read in verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I'm sorry, is that not what they prayed for? Let your servant boldly speak your word. And they did. How cool. Why is it that there's so many promises of answered prayer in the Bible, and yet we seem to see so few real answers to prayer in our own lives? One reason may be the lack of a relationship with God. John 9:31 states plainly, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does His will. John 9:31. Not my words, His word. God answers the prayers of His children when their requests line up with His will, but makes no promise to answer the prayers of those who are not His children, born of God by faith. We need a Savior. Until you become a child of God by being born into His family and He becomes your spiritual father, you have no authority to ask anything from Him. That's the God's honest truth. Nor does He promise to answer your prayers. Think about it, church. Another cause for unanswered prayer is disobedience and sin. John tells us in 1 John 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So in contrast, the psalmist says in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's what God's word says. It's the truth. Why doesn't my prayer get answered? I don't know. Where is your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Have you acknowledged Him? Have you responded to His call? Or are you leaving His power on your table? Because I know a majority of my life I did. I knew the right things to say and do, but I wasn't walking in His power and in His strength. Look, there's always a good reason, and it's always a good idea to confess our sins to restore the fellowship we have with God. Why? So that He'll listen to our prayers. We need to remember that God will have nothing to do with sin. That's why everybody that preaches, you can't. There's no gray area. You're either all in for Christ or you're not. That's the truth, and people are proclaiming that. And until we own our faith, we minimize the power we have the access to. Sin has a way of interrupting fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus said in John 15:7, you might want to write that one down. If you remain in me, and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So, if you aren't remaining in Christ, that's to say, living in close fellowship with Him, you may pray out of God's will. And God will not answer your request. The Bible tells us if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And He will answer. If there's anything on this planet that hinders our prayer life, it's a lack of faith in Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. One thing is for sure, a faithless prayer is the recipe for unanswered prayer. Do you believe? The book of James says in chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Listen, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Faith is the indispensable ingredient to prayer. When we go to God with our request, we must believe. Hebrews 11:6 makes this point abundantly clear, saying, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So when we seek Him to answer our prayer, we need to recognize who's going to benefit from the request. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motive, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. To ask with wrong motives means you're praying for things you have no business praying for, like things to fulfill the fleshly desire, or simply to pray, let me win the lottery, Lord. You will never gain what you want praying outside of God's will to fulfill your own personal desires instead of God's will in your life. Him first. He's got the perfect plan for our lives. He knows what we need before we ask. So why pray? Because He wants to hear from us. You know what a great prayer is? Lord, save me. You know what a great prayer is? Thank you, Jesus. They don't have to be these long, eloquent, 5-minute prayers. They need to be from the heart to Him. Not some vague sentence. Lord, bless me. Lord, help me to understand what You have in store for my life. Help me walk in those ways and not in Your way. That's a specific prayer. Show me Your way, O Lord. So with all that's been said, let me ask the hard questions. How's your personal prayer life? Are you spending time daily in meaningful prayer? Do you pray? Maybe it's time to recommit yourself to prayer. Are you taking time to pray with those in your household? Do you ever pray with friends or with family when you get together? Beyond the bless this meal. Thank you for this food. As we gather together in worship, do you actively pray as praises and needs are being shared? Or do you just listen and critique the prayer? Or tune out? Or pray that this time of prayer won't be too long? When you pray, do you pray for the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven and the advancement of His kingdom? Or are your prayers for the most part self-centered? Maybe it's time to redirect the focus of your prayer life. Could it be that there's some unconfessed sin in your life that need be addressed? The place to begin is prayer. So let's pray. Lord, as we come together to pray, I'm asking that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hear us now as we pray with and for one another. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.